This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1726. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded June 18th, Alaska, Antarctica, Ascension, Australia, Bolivia, Brazil, Canada, Europe, France, India, Korea South, Madagascar, Malaysia, Mongolia, North America, Papua New Guinea, Romania, Solomon Islands, Spain, Taiwan, Turkey, UK, USA, Yemen, and the Propagation Outlook. Correction, last week's 1725 was recorded June 12th, not May 12th. Standard disclaimer, David Alpert of NewsJunkiePro.com sends us this story from the Anchorage Daily News. HAARP gets last-minute reprieve. The U.S. Air Force said June 11th it will give research institutions and other agencies more time to try to save the $290 million HAARP research facility in Gakona, Alaska. An Air Force spokesman said the process of closing the high-frequency active auroral research program, which had been slated to begin this week, will be delayed for at least several weeks and perhaps longer. The agency said it may put off dismantling the site for up to 10 months to allow a transfer to another agency, an option that has been promoted by scientists from the University of Alaska and around the world. HAARP, backed by late Senator Ted Stevens when he wielded great power over the defense budget, has been used both for basic research of the ionosphere and for investigation of communications and satellite technology. Air Force spokesperson Ed Gulick said, "We will proceed with removal of government property not essential to operations and will seek to reduce maintenance costs through additional storage of equipment and winterization." University of Alaska President Pat Gamble said the university could take ownership of the facility directly or through a lease or work with others. He said the main purpose of HAARP is to study techniques through which the U.S. could use high-power radio transmissions to manipulate Earth's ionosphere for its strategic advantage. He said the ionosphere is an integral part of the modern battlefield. It affects GPS navigation, satellite communication, missile tracking radars, orbital surveillance, and submarine communication, to name just a few applications. HAARP directs electric power generated on the site to 180 antennas spread across 30 acres. The transmissions heat electrons in the ionosphere, creating changes that are monitored back on Earth. In the British DX Club, Alan Pennington has heard back from audience relations at the BBC World Service about the Midwinter Antarctica broadcast, confirming it will go ahead Saturday, June 21st at 21:30 GMT, presumably for half an hour. At that time, they were not sure of the frequencies. However, Dan Ferguson found out that they were considering four different frequencies, two of which are the same as last year, 7350 from Ascension and 9890 from the UK. They're going to test them June 21st at 21:30 and pick the three best ones. The other two possibilities are 5875 via UK and 5985 via the UAE, so check them all if you don't hear further by broadcast time. Of course, Ascension, being closest, is likely to reach Antarctica best. Let's hope they're back up to normal service by then, as there was a power failure on June 11th. Thanks to Chris Greenway for forwarding this info. A couple of days later, the BBC issued a statement saying that the morning of Wednesday, 11 June, BBC shortwave broadcasts in English, French, and Hausa to West and Central Africa were affected by problems with the electrical power supply at the transmitter station on Ascension Island. Power was lost at midnight 40. Some services moved to other sites, but with inadequate quality. Some frequencies could not be transmitted at all between 0530 and 630. Since then, some services were restored and hope to be in full service by June 16th. They do not explain what caused this power problem. If I recall correctly, they use both diesel and wind power on Ascension Island. Chris Greenway also points out this caused some inaccurate speculation in the Nigerian press. For For example, from thisdaylive.com, people assumed the lack of BBC broadcasts in Hausa were somehow the result of a military clampdown on the media in Nigeria, although it would be very difficult for them to prevent BBC broadcasting from ascension. For those trying to hear the low-power Australian on 3210 relaying Vintage FM, it comes and goes, but Ian Baxter nearby says it had been missing off the air for a couple of days as of June 18th. Possibly because of the winter solstice, giving Southern Hemisphere stations an advantage in the head start toward the north. I've been hearing Bolivia better than usual. June 16th at 0103, Radio Yura was in on about 4716.64 with music and announcements. They signed off after an ID at 0200. Also better heard than usual, and it's always the best of the lot in the first place, Radio Santa Cruz on 6134.8, June 16th at 0105 past 0200. On June 17th at 0118, I was surprised to hear a new signal on 5990, or slightly on the high side with music, soon found to be parallel to 6180 Brasilia. So they've reactivated their extra transmitter, which had previously been on 5999.6, making a heterodyne with Radio Havana, Cuba. This was originally supposedly to test DRM domestically in Brazil with only 4 kilowatts, and the signal is so weak now that I could believe that power, but it is in AM. Almost all the private Brazilian shortwave stations are off frequency, some even more than 1 kilohertz. Here's one of them as measured independently by two different listeners several hours apart, Rádio 9 de Julho in São Paulo, a Catholic station. Harold Sellers in British Columbia heard it June 14th at 0108 on 9818.75. Then the same date at 0905, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany put it on 9818.727. They also relay another Catholic station, Rádio Aparecida. Adding to his list last week of Brazilian stations carrying the World Cup, Daniel Williams in Mato Grosso heard a game on another one, apparently actually relaying the coverage of EBC, Rádio Nacional do Brasil. It's Rádio Inconfidência on 15190 and 6010. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, June 13th, Ken Zeke quotes the QSL manager of CFRX Toronto, Steve Canny. The director of engineering, Wally Lennox, informed me about 2 weeks ago that with all the efforts of moving their studios into a new location in downtown Toronto over the last year, CFRX really hasn't been on the radar at all. I'm hoping it will appear on somebody's radar now the move has happened. It seems to me it's the engineering people who have the real desire to keep it going. Encouragement in their direction will probably gain more results. The new solid-state transmitter, which came in with great promise a few years ago, has turned out to be a real problem. It's been off more than on. As well, the change in ownership over the last 2 years has also had an impact. The previous owner sprung for the new transmitter. The new management doesn't seem interested. Except for sending notes to the engineering people, I'm not sure what else to suggest. Meanwhile, 6070 continues to be occupied for several hours each evening by Radio Havanacua. Tom Taylor reminds us of a monthly broadcast by a station with an email address in Canada, Radio City, on the air Friday, June 20th, via IRRS from Romania, with 150 kilowatts on 7290, and via Challenger Radio Italy, 1368 medium wave, with 10 kilowatts, both at 18 until 19 UT. It'll then be repeated Saturday, June 21st, between 08 and 09 on 9510. In the British DX Club, John Hode reports the Euro Pirate Laser Hot Hits move from 4025 down to 4015, heard June 13th from TuneIn at 0415. We now know the source of the co-channel interference to WRMI 9955 between 11 and 13 UT, including two broadcasts of World of Radio, Thursdays at 1230 and Tuesdays at 1100. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria reports that it's Radio France International, but relayed via Taiwan. They deleted one broadcast, which was also on that frequency at 23 to midnight UT, but replaced it with 2 hours at 11 to 13 on 9955. So now it's up to WRMI to resolve this conflict with France and or Taiwan. At least the frequency was adjusted at Taiwan to be within only a few hertz of WRMI instead of making an audible heterodyne, but that is not enough. There is no need whatsoever for them to be on the same frequency. There are several other free channels nearby during those 2 hours. It may have been just a one-time mistake, but Joe's Jacob in India reports that All India Radio Lucknow, signing on at midnight 25 UT, June 15th, was on 4900 instead of its regular frequency, 4880. Schedule for that is midnight 25 to 0430, closing earlier on Sundays around 4:15, and at 12:15 until 17:41. Ron Howard says, the new clandestine in South Korea, Voice of Freedom on 6135, suffers from pulsating noise jamming of the same type North Korea employs against Shukase, which used to be on the same frequency. And he's monitored the schedule for the English language lesson for Chinese listeners called How How English. It's at 13 to 13:10 UT, Monday through Friday, but on Saturdays and Sundays it's 13:50 until 1400, with apparently repeats on the weekends. I'm wondering if this is really for North Korea. Why are they doing anything in Chinese? All I could hear on 6135 was a just barely audible carrier, but presumably Voice of Freedom, June 14th at 12:42. But there's several other stations on 6135. Ron Howard in California is trying to identify them. Something under Voice of Freedom at 13:35 onward playing music, possibly Yemen or Madagascar. Martin Roth in the Netherlands did hear Radio Madagascar on exactly 6135 at a later hour, June 15th at 18:59, a football commentary. It was stable on its exact nominal frequency. Clear at first, but possible subaudible heterodyne detected from Voice of Freedom, which Thomas Nielsen in Sweden reports hearing slightly later, 14 hertz higher. Quite a decent signal compared to 5010 from Madagascar. Torsten Hamann in Germany has also heard that frequency, which varies, drifting 5010.6 to 0.7 at 2040 UT, and the day before on 5010.2, about 21 hours. On June 18th, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany measured it on 5010.712, varying to 728, wandering around at 1715 UT, while India was only 5 hertz above 5010. Then Martin Roth in Netherlands reports hearing Radio Madagascar on 6135 at a very different time, June 16th at 0158. The carrier was on already next to Bolivia's Radio Santa Cruz, which is what I hear, on 6134.83. But Madagascar was in the clear after Bolivia's carrier finally went off 3 seconds past 0215. Madagascar was opening with the national anthem at 0226. Furthermore, in his blog and in the Australian Radio DX Club, Rob Wagner in Victoria reports Madagascar 6135, lovely reception on a not often heard frequency. This was June 14th at 21:35. Earlier there was interference from China in Croatian until 21:30. A solid signal and parallel to 5010.29. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigahertz. This is World of Radio number 1726. Consult our website for a lot more information, worldofradio.com, especially the archive of DX Listening Digests. The latest edition upon which this episode is based is number 14-25. Our thanks to Gerald T. Pollard in North Carolina for a generous summer solstice check to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Ron Howard in California says, on June 16th, I finally heard Tracks XXFM via RTM Malaysia 7295. Back on the air again with good reception at 1332. They mentioned that next week, Kevin will be in Sarawak covering the Rainforest World Music Festival for Tracks FM. More about that at rmwf.net. Another Malaysian frequency, 9835, has been covering the annual Quran International Level Recitation Competition, or Tilawa al-Quran, held in Kuala Lumpur. Quran recitations from 10 to 15 minutes long. The competition ends on Saturday, June 21st. It might also be on some other RTM frequencies, 6050, 5965.7, or 11665. Wolfgang Büchel in Germany, using a remote receiver in Japan, reports a proper 20 over 9 signal from Voice of Mongolia in English on 12084.876. This is at 0914 UT on June 14th. In the Radio Escutas group, Marcelo Baal in Paraná State, southern Brazil, reports hearing some North American stations on 1710 kHz. Radio Insight, May 22nd at midnight 30 UT, that would be the 23rd. And also on 1710, Pirate Radio Boston on AM. This was at 01 UT, May 23rd, interfering with Radio Celestial in New York. And a TI station in New Jersey on 1710 as well. Well, those are rather astonishing catches all the way to southern Brazil with very low power. He doesn't say anything about these being via remote receivers. He does have an unusual antenna for his FRG8800, which I will pronounce in Portuguese, lest I mistranslate it. Quadrúpulo estrela heliocoidal com quatro pontas de 53 metros, cada sendo três aterradas em suas extremidades. Jerry Kruger in Florida reports hearing the otherwise unidentified old-time radio pirate on 6770.52, June 15th at 0324 with an old radio drama. Also June 16th at 1056, another radio serial, clear and fair, when it was on 6770.58. Following up my report last week of station YHWH on 12035, that peripatetic, or is it pathetic, religious pirate is reported by Ron Howard on 12040 in the AM mode, June 12th at 1351. It was a program he had not heard before. Normally he repeats many of his programs, fair reception and very readable. Then on June 14th, he found another new frequency for YHWH, 7555 AM. Tune in at 0407 until off at 0431, repeating an earlier show. That frequency, of course, is between the usages of two real religious stations, KJES and WEWN. Wolfgang Büchel in Germany, but I assume using a remote receiver, probably in Australia, reports Papua New Guinea's One Talk Radio Light from Port Moresby at 0826 UT, June 18th on 7324.954. If you're prepared to pay your way to and from Romania, you might want to enter the new contest at Radio Romania International for a 7-day visit to Romania, during which they pay the expenses. It's no doubt announced on all their English broadcasts. Larry Zamora in Texas was hearing it June 15th at 2050 on 15170 during their Sunday DX mailbag program. Paul Walker in Pennsylvania was surprised to find his name mentioned on a blog at Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, but he has been in contact with them. The blog has a lot more inside information about what's going on at the station. It's www.sibconline.com. bit.sb/YOU-ME-SIBC/. Paul says they are licensed for 10 kilowatts on 9545, 5020, and 1035, but only run 5 kilowatts on all the frequencies. With a new transmitter, they're expected to go back up to 10 kilowatts. Wolfgang Büschel was hearing this via a remote receiver in Brisbane, Australia, June 18th at 07 to 08 UT, measured on 5019.876. They had news at 0700. Via Pedro Sedano, Noticias de X, news from the AER blog in Spain from Ham Tony, that there is a resolution to allow special amateur prefixes until the 18th of September, celebrating the change of monarchy in Spain to King Philip VI. That is, call signs with the prefix EA will use AM, EB changes to AN, and EC change to AO. Furthermore, the regional number in the original call will be preceded by a zero in the new call. For example, EA4URE becomes AM04URE. The Voice of Turkey used to give away all expense paid trips to their country to winners of some of their contests, which outdid Romania. Now they've cut back a bit, but still present some very nice gifts to people who answer correctly their questions of the month. So far, I've received three different gorgeous little pouches, very intricately decorated with golden filigree. They could be used as a coin purse, but I'm more inclined to put them in a museum display. No further clues from me, just listen to the Voice of Turkey. Although there has been no change in Thailand away from military rule, just as I expected, the BBC World Service suspended the extra transmissions it had added because of that to Thailand. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria says they were in operation only from May 26th until June 9th via Singapore, 11600 and 11700, and he says the one on 7370 was really via Thailand. Via the BBG Watch blog, this item, originating with the Foreign Policy blog, June 17th, by Reed Standish, headlined, Waste and Abuse of Power at the Broadcasting Board of Governors, According to an Audit. Not even a year after its last scandal, the U.S. BBG is accused of wasting taxpayer money again. The State Department and BBG's Inspector General revealed mismanagement and abuse of power in a new audit. The BBG, an independent federal agency responsible for international broadcasting, caught flak last July for its expensive aerial program aimed at Cuba that less than 1% of Cubans listen to. The new audit outlines how the BBG Contracts Department, which is responsible for planning and managing supplies, services, and construction for BBG affiliates, awarded contracts based on personal connections and used contractors without prior approval, thereby violating the Anti-Deficiency Act. Mismanagement did not stop there. The audit also details a laundry list of other violations, such as how the BBG failed to make the contract process open and competitive. The Inspector General found BBG did not comply with federal acquisition regulation requirements, which led to additional costs from a lack of contract oversight in unauthorized commitments. The mismanaged amount dwarfs that at the center of the Airo Marti controversy, broadcast by a plane to the tune of $24 million over 6 years, but the Cuban government routinely jams the plane's broadcasts. To its credit, BBG wants to ground Airo Marti, but anti-Castro lawmakers block legislative attempts to defund it. When it took over Okeechobee last December, WRMI planned to reactivate a WYFR frequency on the 13-meter band, 21525. But there was some problem with matching the antenna, so they did not use that frequency. However, on June 13th at 1811, Bob LaRose in Southern California was hearing the Overcomer Ministry on 21525 and identified it as WRMI. Very good reception, in fact, better than the same on WHRI 21600. That was not the case here in Oklahoma. Maybe I'm too close, where both signals were very weak. I haven't heard 21525 since. But if the test was successful, we can expect WRMI to show up eventually on that frequency on a regular basis. With a few minutes to spare, I really ought to, for once, tell everyone all the times when World of Radio may be heard on our shortwave affiliates and in time order each week. Although there is often some problem preventing one or more of these from appearing one week or another. Here we go. All times, of course, and days in Universal. Thursday, 0330 on WRMI 9955. Thursday, 1230 WRMI 9955. Thursday, 2100 WBCQ 7490. Thursday, 2100 WTWW 9475. Friday, 0326 variable WWRB 5050. Saturday, 0630 and 1430, Hamburger Lokalradio in Europe, 7265, compatible USB. Saturday, 2330, WTWW 9930. UT Sunday, midnight 30, WRMI 9495. Sunday, 0401, WTWW 5830. Monday, 0300, WBCQ 5110. That's from the Area 51 service. Tuesday, 1100, WRMI, 9955. Wednesday, 0630 and 1430, Hamburger Local Radio again, 7265 CUSB. Wednesday, 1315, WRMI, 9955. Wednesday, 2100, WBCQ, 7490. And there are many more airings via AM, FM, satellite, and webcasting. The complete schedule is at worldofradio.com. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria says Radio Sana'a in Yemen has resumed its English hour on shortwave as of June 13th at 18 to 19 UT on 6135. It's a 50 kilowatt transmitter, non-directional. Very good reception in Bulgaria, confirmed by several YouTube videos. The Tom Taylor news about the Border Hunter Summer Meeting 2014 for Free Radio and Pirate fans. It's from July 4th through 6th at a location not specified in the publicity, but it's somewhere around Netherlands or Belgium, I think. If you're interested in attending for what they promise to be a lot of fun, details from Summer Meeting 2014 at hotmail.com. Looking further ahead to September 19th and 20th, the W9DXCCDX convention and banquet takes place in Schaumburg, Illinois. There are lots of sessions dealing with DX expeditions, initially the Amsterdam Island one, and also about propagation and other matters. For details, check W9DXCC.com. From CoStar.com, via Mike Cooper, Radio Shack has cut back its plans to close 1,100 stores this year, scaling back to only 200 per year over the next 3 years. The propagation outlook from Boulder, ANK indices mostly 5 and 2, occasionally 8 and 3, solar flux gradually declining from 130 June 23rd to 115 by July 7th. That's World of Radio number 1726. Glenn Hauser hoping you'll hear me again next week.